Blog Talk Radio.
Willing to be with someone who's with them just for what they can receive from them versus the person there who's just there to take from someone in a relationship just to take. You know, we need to question the buyer too and question why is that okay with that person, knowing someone is there just to take from you. So it's a lot of dynamics in there that I'd like to explore and discuss during this hour.
Yeah, and then that's what it's all about. There's never any one way that our answers will go on this whole thing. And when I was saying love for sale and advertisement, it's always including who's buying because you have to deal with the psyche of both in order to be able to deal with the subject matter. So I'm glad that you brought that out and so that everyone knows that we're open and we're talking from all angles, as we always do. Our usual way of doing this is that we call out our three area code digits and the last four digits of your number. If you don't want to say your name, or you're also welcome to say your name. This is a safe space, and everybody is always respectful. So we're back to discussing love for sale and how we can change our relationship with those whole notions. And so let's talk a little bit about the buyer. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the buyer and the opposite ends of the spectrums that buyers can come from. You and I talked a little earlier about a buyer could be on that end of, well, I don't think there's any other way that I can get anyone to be in a relationship or maintain a relationship with me, so I'm willing to do whatever it is, if that means even buying that person's love and affection. I'm willing to do so. And so that's one angle that a buyer is coming from. And then they'll also feel as though, it's like a triangle, they'll feel as though they're like caretakers. They'll feel as though they're being taken advantage of on the opposite end of that, because they want you, but they also want you to love them for just them, so they feel like they're constantly in this vicious cycle. I'll give, they reject me if I don't give, and I'll give again, they'll want me, they reject me, I'll give, they want me, they reject me, I give. And so they're on this continuous cycle, and that's a vicious cycle as a buyer who really wants to be loved but can't figure out or can't find or isn't putting out the right energy or drawing in the right energy for that person that will just love them no matter what. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then another part of that is some do it for control purposes. It's a way of controlling and manipulating your partner, if you look at it that way. You know, they know a person, the seller, you know, is selling, you know, and they can hold it over their head. You know, what I did for you, you know, what I bought for you, those kind of things. You know, so it can be used also as a power play and manipulation. So, yeah, on the buyer's end.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's to me, that's an interesting notion, because, I mean, I would find it difficult to be able to put a price tag on myself. I can't think of a number great enough for my love. So when I think of my worth, it has nothing to do with anything materialistic, and it actually has nothing to do with any money. If my wife tomorrow didn't have a dime, that wouldn't change how much I love her, and it wouldn't make me walk away, because my love for her isn't based on what she can give to me other than her love. And respect and loyalty, all of those things that you really can't buy, because if it's for sale, then it goes to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There was a post out on Facebook not long ago in one of the groups I belong to, and I think the question was something about how many of us, or how many of you have, you know, paid for this. And I think the picture was something of like some way, shape, or form, what you've done for your partner, you really ended up paying for it, like money or something like that for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at the amount of women that commented that, yep, I have, yeah, I do that, yeah, that's true. And I didn't get the question. I said, I don't get that. What are you saying? And so the poster said, well, you know, a lot of times, you know, you end up, what you're doing for someone is really paying for. And I said, no, the things that I do for my partner, I don't want anything in return. It's not a payment. I'm doing it because she's my partner. So I didn't quite understand, but a lot of them was trying to explain to me that it's not that simple. You always, everything has a price. And I thought that was really sad when you're talking about a love relationship, to have the mindset that everything has a price, you know. And I was just really surprised to see so many women that agree with that. And I said, if this is the state of so many relationships, it's a very sad place to be. And I know your show is all about healthy love, you know, real love coming from a real healthy place. So it's good to discuss these different types of things, because the question is, do some people really know what love is? You know, and it's not buying someone. It's not feeling like you're paying a price to love someone. So I'm kind of glad we're doing this topic.
Right. Yeah. And one of the most interesting things about it is that it's a concept that came about actually with heterosexual relationships and men in their way to be able to control sexual favors. That's where the whole notion and concept of bartering with gifts and money came from. And I personally believe, as lesbians, we need to stay as far away from embracing heterosexual normal concepts and normality as we possibly can, because they're not healthy from the start.
Right.
It was those were not inventions created to give women any power at all. And that's why when you were talking to them, they could say something to you like, there's a price for everything. There's no such thing as free lunch. You pay for everything. Nothing comes free. That's a very male identified mentality, and that's how we're socialized in society, that, you know, there's nothing that comes free. So we get caught up in those things, and they're unhealthy, and a lot of them are hard to move away from, but we have to move away from them because it was about equality. Lesbianism is really about two women being able to get together where we both are empowered, where we empower one another. And here we are, we kind of tend to bring things in that take away our empowerment and really put you into bondage. You're not as free as you think you are.
Yeah.
So, want to open the floor up to some of the callers that are out there? Anyone have anything they want to say? Any questions, any statements?
Good evening, ladies. 252-0391.
Good evening.
I want to say something here, and I actually want to stand in the truth, because what you're hitting on here is spot on accurate. It's going to take me just a second here to get this all out, but I've been dating women 25 years now. When I started out, I had a buyer's mentality. And what happened was, it derived out of, again, something else that you all have said here, that being the mentality of men. I had picked up this mentality from being around my dad, who was a man who had a wife, a baby mama, and a girlfriend. His philosophy was, you can have as many women as you could afford. And it's exactly what you all were saying from the very beginning. We view this thing in monetary terms. So as I started out on my journey dating women, I thought that I could be the top dog of all top dogs if I could just continue to throw this money at all these women that came around. And it was working for me. And then I realized that it was not working for me, because people weren't really falling in love with me, they were falling in love with the niceties that I was providing to them. And I continued to do this for a long time as a in a mindset until my mother passed away. And I sat and took a long, hard look at how she had been treated and how the other women were treated. And I thought to myself, this is not what I want in a relationship. And I began to reassess what you're saying, the price. What exactly does that mean? Because it can't possibly refer to money. I mean, you just, as has been stated, you just cannot put a price on another person. So now as the years have gone by, I've kind of turned this corner of mindset about a woman's worth, about her value, about what it means, her price, so to speak. And again, I'm finding still 25 years later that, you know, that from the buyer and seller point, the sellers are, there are sellers that are selling and there are buyers that are still out there buying. And it is a mindset from heterosexual relationships. Some of these more masculine identified women, like myself, have, you know, developed these macho mentalities where they want to be viewed in roles and things of this nature. All these things factor in. But you're absolutely right. You can't put it right. You can't just go around this world throwing money at people. And this term price that is being used is being misunderstood, and it's costing a lot of women the opportunities to have encounters with other women like themselves. Mm-hmm. They're all missing each other because everybody's out here buying and selling and selling and buying. I mean, it's wild. So I can identify with everything that has been said here. And again, I guess my point is this, is I don't know how this situation got to putting a price, so to speak, dollar value on what it's worth to for your relationship, but it is definitely something that has our community in a very strange place.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for those comments. Anybody else have anything they might want to add? Janet.
I'm here.
I know you're a little bit under the weather, so we won't push you too hard tonight. But do you have anything you may want to add?
No, I'm just, you know, I'm just listening. I just tuned in. I'm kind of late, but I'm just listening at the moment. I'll get something in later on, though.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit about with the caller. You know, I hope I didn't miss your name. Did you announce your name?
No.
Who was just speaking?
No, I did not. This is April. Good evening.
Okay, April. Hi, April. To talk a little bit of how we got there. We kind of got there an over caricature of role playing. And anything that you caricature in an overt, you know, larger than life kind of way, you take it and you magnify it. And whether you understand the whole notion and concept of it from the start, you just kind of get into it. So when there are roles that are being played in the lesbian community and even in the gay community, when there are roles being played, those roles that are being played for the most part are coming from heterosexual normatives. And so this is what the man does. This is what the dom does. This is how they act, and this is what is expected of the femme, or this is what is expected of the bottom, or You know, and so they just go down that line, and you find yourself starting to have the same issues in your relationship that a heterosexual couple would have in their relationship, which should seem a little off to you because you're not heterosexual. It's not a man
mm-hmm.
talking to a woman or dealing with a woman or having that energy. As much as you can ride on your masculine energy as women and for men, as much as you can ride on your feminine energy, is still different from a man riding on his masculine energy and a woman riding on her feminine energy. We can bask in our masculine energy all day long. It still doesn't, we're not socialized the way men are, so it doesn't operate and function in the same way. You take on those connotations. You know, the woman wants to play the woman role, and the more masculine woman sometimes wants to tend to play what's seen and perceived as the male role. And we have men now in the heterosexual community that don't even want to play the male role anymore at that level. And so we get ourselves into situations and circumstances that, you know, really wouldn't encounter in a relationship if we weren't following those normatives. And that's how it kind of got started, because, you know, I'm the provider, I'm supposed to be that way. Back then, when all of that was set up, you weren't anything more than any other commodity that men could purchase. So when that whole notion of I can even buy sexual favors and sexual pleasures came about, you were nothing more than a commodity. And don't let them fool you. Anybody who gets to the point where they're totally taking care of you becomes owner or parent. And you have those who may grow weary of it, and you have those that love it. They will drown themselves in it. And so you have to be careful, because you don't want to put yourself in any position where you have completely lost all power and control over what you can do and how you can do it, what you can say, how you can dress, because if I'm buying you, I own you. As free mm-hmm. as you believe yourself to be, when I buy you, I own you. And I can prove it to your point, as simple as saying, I don't like that, so I'm not going to buy that. I don't like that. I don't think you should have it, so I'm not buying it.
Mm-hmm.
I might say yes to everything else, but when you're not doing what it is that I want you to do, it's my power can reach as far as saying you won't have that. I'm not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a true seller.
Yeah.
Since I put that out, that statement out there, the true seller will say what you won't do, someone else will.
Mm.
That's what the top seller is going to say. What you're not buying, somebody else will. Dangerous. Both what I said for the buyer and what I said by the seller, because you just spoke volumes there when you said what you won't buy, someone else will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're a buyer and you got a little weary, I know you've heard that comment come from the seller. You know, and if they're not using the word buy, they'll say what one won't do, another will.
Mm-hmm.
And they look you square in your face and dare you to say no again. Because after all, they're letting you know what's keeping me here is what you're doing for me. And what have you done for me lately? If it's been nothing, then hey. That might not be your mentality, but that's what the buyer,
mm-hmm.
deep down, inside, both knows and feels. Even if you don't believe that that's what you're doing, that's what a buyer's mind is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
and you as the seller on that end don't have the same power as if you were selling in the store where you can mark up your price. The buyer really has all the control as to whether or not they're going to bring your price down or bring your price up or not pay at all. Any comments on what was just said?
I have a couple of comments. I have a couple of things I wanted to say, and one is the fem-masculine relationship. It's not always playing a role. I think the fem is just going to be her feminine self and, you know, just be that. And the masculine will be their masculine self and just be that. The problem comes in where you do try to take on a role of, on the masculine side of what a man does in a heterosexual relationship. The caller, caller said that, you know, that's what her dad did. You know, when you start looking at it from that aspect of what the man did, a male did, you know, it's a problem right there. We need to define ourselves better. Being a masculine doesn't mean that you have to be a heterosexual male, you know. And then you question your worth, you know, that you have to buy someone to love you. You know, so you're devaluing yourself when you go into a relationship like that. When I counsel, what I found out when I first started counseling couples in our community, it's not one size fits all. You know, it depends on the couple. I had STEM couples, you know. I had STEM couples, aggressive STEM couples. Every single dynamic, you have to counsel differently because the dynamic is different. You can't counsel a fem-fem couple the same way you would a masculine fem couple. It's just not going to be the same results. So my point is, a lot of my clients that are fem masculine, they absolutely, I find more so on the masculine side, that they feel they have to take on that role as a man. And it becomes, the reason they're seeing me is they're having problems, but they've taken on something that's not who they naturally are, and it becomes difficult to maintain. And then there's problems in the relationship. You know, and I always say to them, well, why do you feel you have to take on this role as a man? You're not a heterosexual male. And a lot of them don't even know what that's like. They don't know how to just be themselves. And I explain, it's not that you lose your masculinity. It's who you are. There are some women that are just masculine-centered. You don't have to lose that, but you also don't have to take on the whole persona of a man, a heterosexual man. And I've seen the aha, you know, as we're going through counseling, that they get it. They learn how to work within that relationship and not be that. You know, right. So I think we need more conversation about that, what that looks like, what it should look like coming with two women, you know, versus a heterosexual man and a woman. I think a lot don't know what that truly looks like. Yeah.
Well, whenever, you know, and I watch kids, we deal with kids here. My wife deals with kids all the time, and I just watch kids, and kids are very, very fascinating. And most of what they pick up, they learn from adults. And so we get socialized and put into boxes at a very early age. And they'll tell you things like, that's for a boy or that's for a girl, and then So when we start talking about energy, we deem energy in the same way as we talk about actual individuals. and it's different. Masculine energy doesn't necessarily mean man.
Right.
It just means the nature upon which that energy flows. It's a lot more dominant, and in society we've been taught that only men are dominant, but that's not true, because there are some extremely feminine women that are very dominant in energy. So when we're talking about of masculine center, where we really should be speaking upon energy, what moves us, what drives us, what's our personality, what's our essence, not so much what we deem to be our sexual gendered identification. We're talking about energy. And so when we are talking about energy, what's feminine and what's masculine, we have to really remove male and female from it, even though the minute you hear feminine and masculine, you immediately equate it to man-woman. But energy is something totally different from individual. So if we could rewire our minds that when we hear someone say, I'm masculine or feminine, not to automatically say man-like, then we'll get to that place that you're talking about, Sky. But as long as when someone says, I'm masculine of center, and the people listening going to say, man-like, so that automatically makes you a stud or a butch or a boy or a whatever, then we're going to have that dichotomy and that issue constantly going on and growing, and when that grows, then we start to see the same things that happen out in hetero. Yes. Hello? Is someone saying something to me? Hello? Hello? Hello?
I can hear you. This is Amos here. I can hear you.
Okay, good, good. Can everyone hear me out there? Okay, so when we start to grow in that dynamic, then we'll start to be able to identify masculine on our own terms as to what that means and not have to equate it to male, like, no matter what we visually look like or what we're wearing. With that being said, A. Michelle is with us tonight. A. Michelle, do you have anything you want to add? Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I think that's an excellent point that you brought up, because I'm very feminine. I'm feminine by nature. It's not anything that I try to be. I grew femininity. But I'm very dominant. I'm very dominant in my relationships. That's why I generally, a lot of people don't like labels, and I respect that. But I generally date women who identify as soft studs or, you know, no labels, because they accept my dominant traits more than someone that identifies as maybe a hard stud, if that makes any sense. Because I am very dominant in my relationship. And so that just, those type of energies are just better for me, because I am dominant. Although I'm a lady, and I'm very feminine. I am dominant. So that was a great point that you brought up.
All we're really talking about is A-type personalities, B-type personalities, and C, and we're just using terms like masculine or center and so on and so forth. But if we just look at things on the surface and see the word masculine and identify that with male, then we start running into problems and bumping heads, and that's why a lot of masculine or center women have issues with aggressive films and film aggressors, because you know they don't think you're supposed. You're wait a minute, you're feminine. You're not supposed to be aggressive on top of it. But yes, she can, because she's an A personality type. So she very much can be aggressive and be a femme, just like you can be submissive and be a stud. And the, many people will call you into question, but you can.
Well, not this one.
I'm going to agree to that, that yes, that is true. Because I think that I'm one of those, well, I'm a masculine assumer, and I really do not like to be identified as a stud, because based on what I see within the life and within, you know, our lesbian community, I don't quite qualify for what they are using as the definition. And oftentimes you will hear me say that I am a quintessential Southern gentleman. I myself personally, most people do not know this. I like aggressively dominant women, because at my core energy, I have a very gentle spirit. I project in outward energy as you know, very strong and you know, wanting to lead and be in charge. And most people, and I almost hate to admit this, I am a very submissive person. When I am in those comfortable one-on-one situations, I like to be in the energy and company of aggressive, dominant women. What I like. Sometimes I don't like to use the word angry women, but because they're not really angry women, but I oftentimes use that term because it lets you know I'm looking for a woman who is not afraid to stand in her truth, to be her own woman. And so a lot of times you're right. When you begin to identify as a stud, there immediately becomes an definition of how you're supposed to act, what you're supposed to say, and what you're supposed to do. I encounter this a lot, and it was interesting that Michelle said what she said, because I understand. I am one of those studs who actually also likes those dominant, aggressive women. I don't want to be in. I don't quote unquote want to be in charge. I'm looking. It's about the partnership, the partnering, the doing it together, the making it work together, making it happen together. And so when you're talking about, when we're going all the way back to your price, to your price, what it costs, what it takes. I'm saying I'm looking for a woman who is sure of herself, who is strong and confident and dominant and aggressive, and that's the type, and that's the company I want to be in. And it centers around everything that I'm saying, centers around what I shared from the beginning. I've thrown money at, you know, I've been there, done that. That does not work for me. So what you're saying is absolutely correct, and it is true. Most of the time, if you find a masculine center, if you show any signs of softness, the first thing that it says is, you're not really a stud.
Usually I think a lot of times, based off of my conversation with a lot of femmes, aggressive femmes, you know, just films in general, I get, like, from the person that I'm dating, I mean, it's like, and she admits or say herself, she said, you know what, Janet, she said, I admire you for being the person that you are, because I've had, you know, been in relationships with studs that, she said, that it's like I can just mop them up like a dish rag or something. I'm not attracted to those kinds where I can just feel like I can just push over. I feel like I can just run over. I don't want anybody. I need somebody who can handle my firmness, my strongness, my character, my whole persona, you know. And I get that a lot of times because, you know what, I'm not a real, real hardcore stud or what they would call butch or anything like that. I'm very laid back. I'm very mild-mannered. But at the same time, there's a line there, you know. And for the most part, it's pretty much I can get along. I don't get along. I don't go along just to get along or whatever, because if I call something or if I see something that is not right, I'm going to call it out. And I'm going to, you know what I'm saying, because I'm not the type of person to where I feel like, well, I don't want to do this because I don't want to start an argument. No. If it's something that really, really bothers me, that's something that I'm going to address. I can't do women who are too, quote-unquote, dominant, because we do clash. You know, I'm a very stern, firm, and I'm very, very opinionated. And for me to be with somebody like that, that's always with, you know, standing toe to toe all together, instead of just saying, okay, baby, you know, I hear you, I understand. I mean, I disagree, but you know, that's how you feel, and we gonna let it go. No, you got some women out there that's just gonna fight you tooth and nail. And ain't nothing wrong with it, because I don't have a problem with it. But my problem comes with me having a woman who's femme, but, you know, I don't think, or quote-unquote dominant, or, you know, aggressive, or women who are 100% or 95% alpha women. I don't date them. And people think that alpha women just means, oh, you got it going on, you know, you can have your own business. Yes, it does mean that. It means that, you know, you're a strong personality, you know, nine times out of ten, you're entrepreneur, you handle your own, you can do your own or whatever. That's fine. But that alpha personality also means that you can be an asshole most of the time, 90% of the time. I can't deal with people like that. You know, I can, but then we will clash because I think I can be a bigger asshole, to be honest with you.
Okay.
When it comes down to what you were saying before about the selling and, you know, buying and different things like that, personalities or whatever the case may be, whatever, I don't, for the most part, don't really get into the thing of where I love looking out for my woman and doing things and buying her nice things, or, you know what I'm saying, just putting a smile on her face, making sure that she's okay, you know, just spontaneous things. It don't have to be her birthday. It don't have to be a holiday. It doesn't have to be any of that Valentine's Day. I'm just the type of person, I'm going to look out for you when you least expect, not because you expect it. You can't come to me and just say, I want this, or I want that, I want that, and I want this. You can't just come to me and just do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not your sugar daddy. I'm not your, you know, let's not get it messed up. I don't even know how people get into situations like that. Maybe, you know, because they see this person couldn't do much for themselves. They say, okay, to me, I see that as being, okay, this is somebody I can control. This is somebody that I can really, really, you know, get her to do whatever I want to do. She got to listen to me because I'm the one providing and taking care of everything. You know what I'm saying? Never been my style or whatever, because if I was to take on a responsibility like that, that means I truly love this woman, and I'm not going to take advantage of her. If it's something, like as Minister Dupree was saying, well, you know, if I don't like something that she likes, I'm not going to say, well, I don't like that, so I'm not buying it. That's not my personality. If my baby likes something, and if, you know what I'm saying, I'll get it for her, because 9 times out of 10, I'm not going to date a woman that's going to be a hoochie style anyway. So that's not going to be her thing. But okay, let me shut up. I'm done.
I don't know about you, Sky, but I had a couple of couples that I've worked with, more than a couple, a few couples that I've worked with, where you know, it was really causing an issue, the dynamic of what one was supposed to do in comparison to what the other was supposed to do. And with regard to, you know, it was almost like a buyer-seller kind of relationship. You want to go out? You want me to go out with you? Then I need you to buy me a dress, a new dress. I need a whole new outfit every time they wanted to take them out. And if they weren't going to buy them that new outfit, they didn't go. They weren't going to go. Because, you know, that's just, you knew the deal when we came in. I told you how I like to be treated and so on and so forth. And what we're trying to say is that your advertisement of how you are marketing yourself in your relationship can either make that relationship or break that relationship. So you have to be very mindful of your marketing, or let me say how you dole out your love and what is attached to the giving of your love. Because, you know, everybody's mindset isn't where your mindset is. And that's why you have people, when they're referring to their partners, they call them out their name, you know,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that thought, you know, and that itch and, you know, all of those different things, because they feel as though they can do those kinds of things, because I can call you whatever you want, because, you know, you're pimping yourself, therefore I'm the pimp. And I'm buying you. And then on the other end of that, you have that whole, well, if you're not going to, then I'm going to withhold my love from you, and I'm going to not give you my love, and my love is contingent upon all these different things. And you got all of that stuff sitting in your relationship. And so they might not say it to you, but they're having discussions with their friends about you. They may say some things about it. They'll say, oh, my God, and now I'm broke. You know, they'll be carrying bags and oh, my God, and now I'm broke. Ha, ha, ha. They're laughing, but they're serious. Because in their mind, they're like, I'm working every day. And you know what? Before I met you, I could do some things, and I could go somewhere, and I had money saved away just in case something happened. And now I'm almost living check to check, because now you exceeded us living comfortably. Because we don't have to live high on life. See, the wealthy aren't living, spending every dime they have. As a matter of fact, most of the wealthy are getting free gifts. They got land yet. They're getting stuff extra. They're not even buying most of that stuff. The thing is, depending on how big you are and how wealthy you are, people are comping you things. You're getting those things. They're not spending their money on those things that we're trying to keep up with them in order to show that someone loves us. I need you to show me you love me by buying me something, and better yet, I need you to show me that you desire me by letting me buy you, not buy you something, but buy you.
Yes.
Yeah. And it all seems cute to us, and it all seems like a joke. But there's undercurrents going on, and they come to the, you know, to the head when you least expect it.
So it's basically the pretty woman syndrome.
The what syndrome?
Movie, the pretty woman. Did you see the movie Pretty Woman? Yeah, where he just bought her, and she was at his beck and call, and he gave her, you know, let her do whatever she wanted to do, had all the nice, you know, fine clothes and hats and shoes and, you know, just be there at my beck and call. That's all I need you to do. And be there, you know, at nighttime when I want to hold you and, you know, be intimate and all. You know what I'm saying? It's that. But he ended up falling in love, whatever. That's another story. But I'm saying some people don't.
Right.
They just, they like that type of control, you know?
Right. The other dynamic is kind of like, go ahead, sorry.
Well, and looking at that movie, which is one of my favorite movies.
Mine too.
Yeah, I can watch it a million times. But the thing is, he went into it as a business, you know, he didn't go into it as, you know, I'm going to fall in love with this person or this
right.
is what I have to do to keep her. What I find in counseling one couple in particular, they're clashing. What they were talking to me is the aggressive woman came into the relationship buying her things because that's what she wanted. You know, and it got to the point where she wanted red bottom shoes and those kind of things like that. And when she couldn't do it anymore, the femme got upset. The femme said to me, I'm upset because we have to call a contractor when she should be able to fix things, you know. And I said, why should she be able to fix it? Why automatically should she be able to fix it, you know? But they had gotten into that space. And I had to ask her, what are you doing? What are you building here? What kind of relationship are you trying to create here? Is this about love or is it what you can do for each other? You know, and they really, I mean, it was so interesting to me because they were having epiphanies there. They didn't even think about it.
Right.
You know, so I asked the aggressive, you know, I said, why did you start doing that if that's not really what you wanted to do? Why, just because she wanted red bottoms, you bought her red bottoms, but now you're in the middle of it and you know, why did you do that? She said, because I just wanted to make her happy. You know, and I said, so you have to come in your authentic self in a relationship. You know, you have to be that. You can't come in the representative. And then in the middle, you know, pull that back, it causes a problem. But they really had no idea how to build a relationship and what a relationship looked like. They both were what they can get from each other. And that was very sad. Unfortunately, they're working things out and their relationship is totally different now. Their expectations have changed. They do want to work on something long and sustaining versus I told her no more red bottoms. Don't buy her anymore red bottoms, you know. She has enough.
Right.
I said, that's a trip. I said, what you have on your feet, what she's buying for you, that can be a trip for you guys to explore, you know, another country or something like that, to do something as a couple, to build memories, to build a life. You know, that can be a down payment on a house, you know, things like that. And so she goes, yeah, I never looked at it that way. I said, so instead of her buying you shoes, why not put that money in a savings, you know, and you not expect certain things from her. Just let her be herself. And they're working that way now, and it's good. And they both said they're feeling very comfortable in that space, you know.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, and it's not anything that can't be, you know, altered or changed. It's just that, you know, again, you're the way you went in, your marketing, you know, put you in a position where you were taming your relationship. Let's use an analogy that everybody knows all about. Let's use the analogy of the man who has a wife and a woman on the side. The wife who remains in their relationship, you have to know that at some point in time she knows that he has that other woman. And so the things that he gives her, once he realizes that she knows but she's not saying anything about it, the things that he starts to do and give to his wife is to keep her quiet with regard to the things that he's doing. And back in the day, most women knew that the men were doing all of those things, but, you know, they were taking care of the house, they were providing, they were buying them things, they were doing all the things they were supposed to do, so, that's just what a man does. That was the mentality. So the woman on the side, most definitely every gift she gets is to make sure she doesn't stir up any dust. I'm giving you these things because I want you to be over here and be content with what I'm giving to you, even though it's not all of anything. You're not getting all of nothing. And I want you to be content about it, and I'm going to give you these things. You know, the family that prays together, that to me, the dynamics in there just spoke on so many levels. He bought his wife a necklace. He bought his woman the same necklace, except hers was smaller.
So you know, you're never getting the whole of anything, but you get just enough to keep you content and to keep you quiet. But that's still him having power, because you know that man, even though he's got his wife on the side, you can't have nobody else, and they calling you all day and all night to make sure you're not out, and asking you why you out, and who you out with. And that's what happens when somebody feels as though they have the right to and some ownership towards you, just simply because they're financially covering you, and giving you things and giving you gifts. You know, it's like little kids. Kids do it all the time. Kids will give you a toy and tell you who you are if they're present. If they don't like somebody else in the room or any other kids in the room, even though they gave it to you, they'll tell you whether or not you can share it or not. And that's the same dynamic that adults have. We don't always grow out of those things. You know, and so tonight we're really talking about your love cannot be for sale. You cannot put a price on your love, because when you start to do that, you start to set up dynamic and build walls around what can and what cannot happen in your relationship, how much you will really empower one another, and how much you will stifle the growth of one another in a multitude of ways. I'm opening the floor back up to my callers. I want to hear you guys speak. I know you're out there, and let me hear from you. Anyone have any statements they want to make, any questions? You guys killed me with this silence treatment. what we want to say is that love is about passion, and your relationship, may it be marriage or you're dating or you're just hanging, you know, you got to have some kind of passion and compassion in that relationship. You have to have some kind of equity, and for us women, equality in that relationship, uh-huh. Because equity isn't enough. We really, you know, when we're dealing with the real world, equality isn't always possible. But in your relationship, equality should be possible. It should be one of the things you can obtain, and it shouldn't be based on how your equality shouldn't be divvied out by who has the most. You have as much power and as much say in the relationship as the other partner, or you don't have an equal, healthy relationship. That's why you can't sell it. Because if you're the seller, then you're not in the power position. That's the person who holds the purse strings or in the power position.
Uh-huh.
You can't get money if you have an organization. You can't get money unless you go through the treasurer, even the president. Can I get money without going through the treasurer? The treasurer holds the purse strings. That's the person with the real power. So you take that dynamic out, especially if someone says to you, hey, I just want you to be able to enjoy things, enjoy life. You don't have to work. You could just stay home. Just make sure everything is fine for me. Just, you know, just make sure when I come home, I got a clean house, there are meals, you know, and you just take care of me. That's what I want you to do. Just take care of me. And I'll give you the world if you just take care of me. But that's not you having any power over what you'll be given. And you don't want to make money the forefront of your relationship. You don't want to tilt the playing field in that manner. It puts you at a disadvantage. You know, one way or the other, the buyer can get out of it. Either he or she runs out of money, or they decide to stop spending money.
Uh-huh.
and the things we grow accustomed to and that we get used to, kind of hard for us to go without. So then we start compromising in ways we shouldn't compromise. Who wants to lay beside someone daily that they really don't particularly care for, but I'm getting everything that I want, so I'm going to lay here. But you know that's going to be some time thing on where you open your eyes and you look at them and they're looking at you like, this MF here. You don't have nothing you need to do. You ain't got nowhere you want to go.
I've been there.
Even though you give them everything in the world, they start to say that stuff. Why? Because they're not there because they love you.
Right.
You didn't even give them an opportunity to love you. And just because somebody giving you something all the time doesn't necessarily mean it's because they love you. Sometimes I think I have to. I had one couple, one person in the relationship, whenever they gave, it always had so many strings attached to it, you just didn't even want to see them coming with anything in their hand, because if they gave you one, they were getting back 10. Whatever they gave, it was because they had an intention of gaining even more from you for that one that you gave. They were going to magnify. They were growing whatever they were giving at your expense. So I had to convince them and get them to see how, you know, that was destroying their relationship and how their relationship was deteriorating. The person was comfortably numb at one point. They didn't feel anything. They didn't even feel anything when they were sexually intimate. They just did what needed to be done. They learned very quickly how to get you off very quickly so that, you know, they didn't have to be there too long. And that's not what love is about. You know, you don't want your partner afraid to go to the mall with you. You don't want to keep your partners away from other people because they don't want you to see nobody else getting nothing because they're afraid that, Lord, if they see this, they're going to want something too. You know, all of those are negatives for your relationship. You don't want to be in a position where you always got to beg your partner to give you something either. We have to be careful of the blueprints we lay out when we're building our relationship. Mm-hmm. We want our house to remain standing. We don't want to lean into one side and, you know, walls caving in and beams falling down and the roof got holes and it's leaking, the rain is leaking in on you. And it's just way too much because life in general has way too much in it for you to complicate the things that are supposed to be beautiful in it. Try your love at its pure state. You know, sometimes some people think they need to dilute things because, you know, it might be too strong. But try your love in its pure form. Where you're not attaching any extra baggage to it so that it can operate and flow and move in its natural way. Because love has a natural way of flowing and moving too.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, people.
They can't handle me at foolproof. I got to put a little water in there.
How much? A drop? You need a cup? What you need?
I'm just saying. I don't know. I guess I get a little bit too deep sometimes. You know, when you go to speaking and talking about that. You know, my thing is that when it comes to being with someone or dealing with someone and getting close to someone, You know, my thing is that all these other hats, I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in your image. I'm interested in the soul of you, of who you are. That's what I want to connect with. That's what I want to know. That's what I want. That's the part of you that I want to really, really love, wholly, solely, and completely. The other stuff, those images, that's just what that is. It's an image. And many times those images is what covers up the real you, who you are. Many times, not saying all the time, but many times that's what it is. So I don't want to see that. I want you to take off those hats. Let me feel you. Let me see you. And when sometimes when I talk like that, you know, it gets a little scary. It gets a little, you know, whatever. But, okay, that's another story.
Hey, Michelle, you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
You've been quiet for a minute. I haven't heard anything from you. You got any input on anything that's been said?
Well, my thought is if you can't afford to do something, then just don't start it. And if someone wants you to buy their love, you have to really think to yourself, can you afford it? And I'm not necessarily talking about financially afforded. People that desire to be bought, that's a hefty price. And it's very exhausting. So I just encourage anyone who feels like that's the only way they can get love is by purchasing it. You have to really think about what you're really buying. So that's my little thought for the evening.
Okay. So let me ask you a question, please. Go ahead.
Yes.
Someone was getting ready to say something.
No, it was me. Go ahead. Just go say what you were going to
say. Hey, Michelle, to part of the statement that you said earlier, so are you saying to me if I decided when I first started dating my wife, I wanted to buy her a dozen of roses, and I decide I'm going to bring her some tulips.
Uh-huh. There's a big difference.
Uh-huh. For a lot of people. The meaning of those, the difference in those flowers are huge for people. Have I stopped doing what I was doing?
Because you bought her roses in the beginning, and now you're buying her tulips?
Mm-hmm. Not at all.
I don't think so. For me, and this is just for Michelle, anything that anyone does for me is appreciated. I'm very grateful because you owe me nothing. You just owe me the truth, whatever that is. That's all I expect from anyone. So if you buy me roses, three dozen roses, tulips, I'm going to be grateful. I would prefer you buy me calla lilies because that's my favorite. But anything you buy me, I'm going to be grateful for. I'm never going to make the person I'm with to feel like they owe me. Or these are the conditions for my time. So
but
I don't
now,
think,
when people say, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Most times when people are saying, well, when we started, they used to do one thing, and now they're doing something else, they're really speaking about how the person has scaled back over time.
Mm-hmm.
And the changes that the person has made with never, ever a consideration of what's going on in the relationship that caused the changes in the first place. So when we say a statement out there, when we put a statement out there on the waves, like, you know, don't start anything, you can't keep going, well, you're continuing to buy gifts. Just the style and the type of gifts you're buying may have changed. You may see something in that partner that they right now don't see in themselves, or there's something that they reveal to you, so you feed on that. And since they're not aware of all of who they are, they don't see any appreciation for it. So as far as they're concerned, you're not doing the things you used to do. You don't treat me the same way you did when we first got together. That was why I asked you that question. You know, if I bought roses in the early part and I switched it to tulips,
uh-huh,
have I stopped being able to continue doing what I was doing when I started?
I say no. And it's a funny thing you brought that up, because my partner and I, she started out buying me roses. And I told her, you know, I said, you know, I really like tulips. And she said to me, are you sure, baby? She said, tulips are cheap. I said, but I like them. I like tulips in the spring. I really love tulips, you know. And she's like, okay. You know, so instead of her buying one bouquet of tulips, she felt she had to buy two to make up for, you know, me not getting the roses. And I told her, you don't have to do that. I just really like tulips. But I have to get off the phone, but I just want to say something. Love is never should never be for sale. Under any circumstances, it should never be for sale. If you're starting dating somebody and that's what they show you, that's a red flag. That's definitely a red flag, and you should really step back. You know, or someone who's trying to buy you, you know, that's a red flag. Because it's just going to get worse as time goes on. So it's in the beginning. You come as yourself, and if your partner, that's what she wants. She wants you to buy her certain things. She wants red bottoms. And you know you're not going to be able to do that in the long run. Don't start it. Just don't start it. And it's a definite red flag, immediate red flag. So, because love is not for sale.
Thank you, Sky. Okay, guys.
I am going to say good night to you, ladies.
I added a little bit more time because normally we run out of time. But if you guys don't have any more questions and no one else has anything else they'd like to say, but I wish you guys would go ahead and put your questions out there and feel safe and free to talk. Other than that, I'm going to start winding things down and wrapping things up. I'll start with Janet with some parting words.
I don't have any parting words. I'm just going to say that when it comes down to buying and selling and different things like that, if that's what you want, if that's the type of relationship that you want to have, for some people, it might get them off to have somebody that want their money or want them to do things, because some people just like feeling needed in any way they can. They just want to feel, they don't feel used. We look at it and say, oh, she's using them, but they don't feel used. It makes them feel good. Whatever works for them, that's what works for them, but it does not work for me. And I'm saying whatever works for you, go with it. But I don't think that love has nothing to do with it. If you're looking for a relationship that's solid, a relationship that has foundation, someone that, you know, you love and you want them to love you, make sure that they love you and not so much the things that you're doing for them. That's it.
Hey, Michelle? And Michelle, you still with us? You tipped out too? Okay, I'm going to do a wrap-up here. Just before I do a wrap-up, anyone out there listening have any questions, any statements they might want to say? Okay. I want to begin by saying not at any point were we considering anyone as a user. We were just talking about how the perception comes across. We're not saying anyone is weak
because they're doing those things if that makes you feel good and you feel as though that's what you want to do, that's what you do. But what we're saying is that everything we do in life has a message and everything gives off a message, and we're socialized in a certain way, and if we think what the perception is of what's going on is different for different people. If I put you in a room and I hid you all from one another and just put a question and said, don't speak out loud, write your answer on the paper, I get more responses that are alike than I'll get that are different. No matter what background I'm coming from, I'll get more alike answers than different. But what we're saying is that everything does not and cannot have a price tag. What we're saying is that in your relationship with your love, you want that person to consider you as a human, not a commodity. And what we're saying is that if you're open to love and you want to be loved and you want longevity in your love, you have got to let love flow in its natural state. And love was never anything that had a price on it. Marriage was always something that had a price on it back in the olden days. You got a dowry for taking someone's child off of their hand and bringing them onto your hands and into your responsibility. So everything that we do in life has a history prior to when we did it. And the history doesn't really fall that far from the tree when we're dealing in social norms. So you have to be very careful of the marketing that you bring into your relationship that can tilt it. Again, I love each and every one of you who are dialing in every week, and even those of you who are new and coming for the first time. Again, I tell you, bring your friends, have them come in. I open up for you guys to speak. You know, your mics are always open. Other than that, I want to say thank you to everyone. Again, I can be found on Facebook as Creme de la Creme, or you can find me on Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. A. Michelle Grogan is on Facebook. Sky Vaughn is also on Facebook. Janet Hurd is on as Janet Hurd, and you can also try and join her group, L45, and you can get in touch with her that way. Until next week, guys, and remember, next week is open mic, so we can't talk and we can't answer anything unless you come with your questions and things that you want to talk about, because it's open mic. Whatever you want to talk about, that's what's going to be on the table and being served up. Until next week, love you all, and you guys have a blessed night.
Good night. Who would like to sample my supply?